Let me call your attention back to the teaching series that we've been on over the past little while on the Ten Commandments. We've been thinking about God's blessing for us, how God leads us into the blessing of following His way. And the Ten Commandments are that path of blessing. And so we're wanting to celebrate that again today. Actually, the passage that has meant so much to us is Psalm 119, 30 and 32. And it says this, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I've set my heart on your laws. This is the way of faithfulness, that our hearts are set on the laws of God. And then verse 32, I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. It's running in the path of God's commands that leads us to blessing. It leads us to the shalom, the peace, and the good blessing of God. And so we are looking at these commandments not as restrictions, not as something that, you know, sort of cramps our style, but actually releases us into the blessing of God. I'd like for us to take a moment, now that we're partway through this series, just to review. So let me ask of you, let's just see how well we're doing. What is the first commandment? Anybody tell me what the first commandment is? Have no other gods before God. That's right. I think we have it up on our screen here. Do not worship any god except me. That's commandment number one. What about commandment number two? What is it? I think we know. Come on now. Don't make idols. That's right. We have this one. Do not make idols. Do not bow down and worship idols. I am the Lord your God, and I demand all your love. What about the third one? Do you remember what we focused on in the third one? Third command? I heard it, yes. Don't use God's name in vain. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. I think here it is. Don't misuse my name. I am the Lord your God, and I will punish anyone who misuses my name. We got through the fourth one as well. Do you remember that? Remember the Sabbath. Okay, that one is one that we seem pretty familiar with. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember that the Sabbath day belongs to me. In another translation, to keep it holy. So all of these are commandments that pertain to our relationship to God, the vertical relationship, as it were, that we are, this is how we live a life that pleases God and shows honor to God. It's at the stage where we come to the fifth commandment that we actually turn to the more horizontal focus, so that the honor that we show God now is translated on the horizontal level to one another. And so the next commandment that we're going to look at, the fifth commandment, says this. On our screen, it says, there it is. It actually says Exodus 20 and verse 12. Is that one there? There it is. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. This is the beginning of a series, the final six commands that speak about our horizontal relationship that reflects our relationship with God. It's about honor. I think it's important that we speak about honor this morning and honoring our father and our mother. So what is honor? What is this? I found these definitions, three definitions in the dictionary. The first is this, definition of honor. It says to regard or treat someone with admiration and respect. That's a good definition. The second one is this, to give special recognition to or to confer honor upon. That's a good definition of what it is to honor. Then there's this third one, to salute with a bow in square dancing. Now, I don't think that's the one. That may be true, but I don't think that's the one that the Bible has in view here when it speaks about honoring our fathers and our mothers. Honor is not about rules. It's not about rules for rules' sake, but it's about goodness for goodness' sake. And there's something quite profound about this, that we're to understand what is honorable, and because it is honorable, give it the honor that is due. It's about respecting the worth of things that are truly worthy, including relationships. So it's about giving honor where honor is due. It means that we're serving a value that is higher than ourselves. It's not serving ourselves, but honoring what is external to ourselves that deserves that honor. Having an appreciation for something more important in our society than our own needs and our own desires. Honor speaks to making choices to the greater good of others, even to the sacrifice of our own immediate good. Does that make sense? Honoring others. The honor has value. It's understanding value. There's that the word about honor. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the situation in Ottawa. There was a service that was held by a satanic cult. And the service was called the Satanic Black Mass. And it really was a parody of the Roman Catholic Mass. They actually took an element of the host, and that was central to their parody, and they had their gathering and worshiped Satan around that. And when I saw that, when I heard that, when it was happening for the first time in Ottawa, kind of symbolic as our national capital, and when I saw the encroachment of those kinds of things, it made me think just how dishonoring this is. How you know, the whole thing is built around dishonoring what is honorable. I also read more recently about Judge Tammy Kemp. Have you heard this story in the United States? Judge Tammy Kemp, who was the one to bring the sentence upon Amber Geiger, who's a police officer, she killed her neighbor, a young black man. She did it thinking that he was someone who had intruded into her apartment. At the close of that judicial proceeding, and when the verdict had come down that this police officer, Amber Geiger, was guilty, and guilty verdict given, then there was an amazing thing that happened in the courtroom. The parents of the slain young men, Botham Jean, the parents came and hugged Amber Geiger. And then the brother of the deceased man, Botham Jean, hugged Amber as well and pronounced forgiveness on her. And it's in that kind of very special, worshipful, spirit-filled moment in the courtroom, the judge as well, who was a Christian believer, stepped down from her bench and went over. She was a black judge, went over to Amber, a white police officer, and gave her a hug and gave her a Bible. Something that was incredibly special, incredibly moving. But then there are those who thought that somehow they just don't want to see this kind of thing move forward in society, and so they denounced it. They denounced it as something that was a violation of the separation of church and state. It was a violation of the separation of powers. And so denounced it, and these were social justice advocates, and there's been a lot of mixed media over it since. And what it seems to suggest to me is something that is so honorable is treated with dishonor. And it changes the whole circumstance. It changes it all around. What God has called us to do is to honor what is truly honorable. There are a number of ways that we use this word in our society today. You know, we speak about on my honor as kind of an oath that we would take. It's a saying that we have. And it means that I hold my honor in highest esteem. And if my words or my actions are not honorable, then I confess I'm not a person of honor. On my honor, this is true, or I will do this. Or we use this phrase, do the honorable thing. And what does that mean? What does it mean to do the honorable thing? It means to do what is right, even though it means acknowledging that you have done wrong. You do the honorable thing. You accept the consequences of your mistakes or your wrongdoings. We use terms like in our judicial system. We say your honor, or we say the honorable so-and-so when referring to someone who is lifted up amongst us. It's more than just an observation. It's actually a designation of honor. There's something deeper about the relationship of justice and honor, and we honor that. We also talk about the honor of those who have served for us. Fallen soldiers or others who have given themselves. We speak about honoring our mothers, and we speak about honoring those who are special to us. Or we say, honor your word, or honor your commitment. And it means that you're going to follow through. You're going to be, you're treated with a weightiness so that you're going to follow through with what you've said. We might even reflect upon the old chivalry of honor, where we recall stories of those. There was a day at one time when a person would place his or her honor or the honor of someone else above all other things and would do the honorable thing because honor is prized. In the scriptures today, from what we've read, we understand that honor is a big deal. There are many passages of scripture that speak about this. God is concerned that we honor what is honorable. It's a big deal to God. It's actually a spiritual obligation that helps to set our lives in order under the rule of God, to give honor where honor is due. John Calvin said this about this commandment. He said, the sum of the commandment will be that we are to look up to those whom the Lord has set over us, yielding them honor, gratitude, and obedience. Hence it follows that everything in the way of contempt, ingratitude, or disobedience is forbidden. God calls us to honor what is honorable. That's what this commandment is about. And as I say, it does have profound implications for us. It means discerning what is honorable and then giving it the weightiness, giving it the respect that is due. What about this part of it? Honor your father and mother. Why is that emphasized here in this passage? Honor your father and mother. Well, here are a few answers for us. The first one is this. There are no perfect parents. Because there are no perfect parents, we need to be told that we are to honor the institution of fatherhood and motherhood. You see, all of us have weaknesses. We all have faults and shortcomings. We all make mistakes. There's inconsistency in our lives. God alone is the perfect father. God alone is the perfect parent in that sense. Even the best have made mistakes and they've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned, and as a result of this, we're all warped. None of us have perfect parents, and you're not a perfect parent either if you're a parent sitting in this room. There are many parents who are unworthy of honor. We're confessing that as we say this. There are those who, in a particular way, were abused and manipulative. There are those who are neglectful. So what is God telling us to do when he tells us to honor our parents, honor our father and mothers? Is he saying that we are to ignore the pain, that we are just to put on a happy face and pretend that everything is all right, that everything is great? No, this is not what God is asking of us. But God is saying that I want you to honor them as your parents. Honor them as your parents. The first one is there are no perfect parents. And we need to honor them nonetheless. The second is this, respect for authority begins at home. This is where we learn to make the distinctions that have to do with reverence. It's a critical lesson, of course, that every child needs to learn, right? Is to honor what is honorable. It determines how well you're going to do at school. It determines how well you're going to do in your career and in your relationships. You know, a child that grows up saying, nobody can tell me what to do, nobody's going to show me what I should honor, well, that child is going to have a hard time keeping a job, that child is going to have a hard time respecting their circumstances, going to have a hard time maintaining relationships. There are a lot of times that you have to do something that somebody tells you to do, whether you want to or not. You have to honor the authority that is there. God wants us to learn how to respect authority. How to live in a world that where God has appointed authorities. The commandment to honor one's human parents is combined, or it's actually compared to honoring God. This is the kind of background to the biblical teaching or the filling out of the biblical teaching in terms of reflection upon it. The Talmud says that there are three partners in the creation of a human person. Three partners. The parents and God, two parents and God. And so to honor the parents is the same as to honor God. The Talmud suggests that it compares a number of passages that kind of follow the same pattern from the Old Testament law, and it concludes that honor toward parents and honor toward God are drawn together. One portion of the Talmud, the rabbis write, the scriptures speak about honor your father and your mother. It also says honor God with your wealth. These are tied together, Proverbs 3, verse 9. Uses the same terminology, and the law then compares the honor that you owe your father and mother to the honor that you have to give to the Almighty God. The Bible also says that every person must respect his mother and father, Leviticus 19:3, not just in the giving of the Ten Commandments, which happens twice in Scripture, but there as well. And then it also says, Deuteronomy 10 and verse 20, God your Lord you shall respect, him you shall serve. The same kind of construction, which reminds us that honoring our parents is aligned with honoring our God. Exodus 21 verse 17 says, whoever curses his father or mother shall be put to death. And it further says in Leviticus now 24, verse 15, anyone that curses God will bear his sin. It uses again the same kind of terms to hold together or show us that the scriptures hold together, honoring parents with honoring God. So we're to respect our parents, because and respect for authority begins at home. And then this is a good, another reason why we don't honor our father and mother. How I relate to my parents is going to affect every other relationship in my life. How I relate to them that God has placed over me. It's a major forming factor in life, isn't it? Your style of relating to others is often something that is formed. It's a pattern that is formed in the home as you relate to your parents. Even today, as grown-ups here, when you act in ways that you don't understand or you can't figure out, you don't know where it's coming from, you don't understand why your behavior is the way it is, often it can be the case that it's because you're still reacting to your parents. You're still reacting to that early formative time in your life. There are many marriages, we must confess, that have been ruined because one spouse has never resolved a relationship with a parent. And then they carry all of that baggage into their own relationship with a husband or wife or kids. And they say things like, you're just like my mom, or you're acting like your dad. Surveys have shown that people who get along with their parents have far less stress in their lives. The Bible says, in honoring our parents, that the way you treat your older, elderly parents is a demonstration of your true faith. It's a demonstration of where your heart is with God, even whether you're a true follower or not. And many of us have to face this kind of issue. God says, honor your parents. Some of us have aging parents, and it takes on a new set, a new dimension, a new set of, it's a new character when you think about what it is to honor parents in this time of life. I have news that came to me just this week of my own father who was struggling with dementia, and there was a kind of a further progression of his expression of dementia, and it causes you to wonder, how do I honor my parents in this kind of circumstance? There are many in this kind of place. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. It's hard to imagine it being stated more clearly and more forcefully, right? This is pleasing to God. So here's a word to parents. If you want to be honored, you must be honorable. If you want to be honored, you need to be those who rise up and live the life of honor. There's an old saying, it's short but true. It goes this way, honor begets honor. Honor begets honor. You live honorably and you draw honor to yourself. As a Christian parent, I say to you, your number one goal in life should be to ensure that your children come to know Jesus Christ when they're old enough to understand. It's one of the reasons why we do child dedications, as we did here today. It's to recognize the gift that God has given, but also to recognize the obligation God has placed upon us, obligation and opportunity, that we would be able to lead these young ones into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, that they would confess Him as Lord and walk with Him as their Savior. Lynn and I have prayed diligently for our four kids over their years, and we've taught them in the best ways that we know and understand, not always rightly, not always as well as we would like as we look back, but we've done our very best so that each of them on their own, without coercion, would make their commitment to Jesus Christ. And we praise God that they have. And so we're confident if we were to die today that we would see our children again in heaven because they know Christ. And even now, as they're out of the house and living their own lives, we persist and we see the need for growth and development in their lives, and we continue to pray, we continue to labor that the very best of Christ-following ways be seeded into their lives. We don't rest easy until we're sure that the family is in the fold, as it were, and they've made their personal commitment to Christ and they're growing up in their faith. We pray for it, we work for it, we do everything that we can. And this is the nature of Christian family in the context of the church. Now, I do understand that for some, this is a very painful, very difficult issue. It's a painful message, and it's easy to honor your father and mother when they're good, godly people and they bring the best into your lives. That's just so natural. But some of you have had parents that have hurt you deeply. The wounds that you carry, you just can't find words for. In fact, you might even say your life was devastated by it. Quite the opposite of what God intends by honorable parents in our lives. I want you to know that the Bible says that there is severe judgment for child abuse, for mistreatment, for neglect, and for molestation, and all of the things, severe judgment. The Bible does not permit these things, and the Bible will not allow them to go. Jesus said, anybody that offends one of these little ones, it's better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the bottom of the ocean. It's serious. It's serious. But God is asking us to honor our fathers and our mothers. What is He expecting of us then? Do we honor a parent who has been dishonorable to us? God's not asking for us to gloss over all of the pain, all of the hurt that has been brought into your life. He's not asking you to deny it. He's not asking you to pretend it's something other than what it is. He's not asking you to repress it or to make excuses for it, not to make excuses for parents who have gone in a wayward direction, whether it's alcoholism or some other kind of abusive behavior, whatever else it might be. God does not want you to fake it, but He does want you to face it head on. And that can be very scary. That can be very difficult. But it's the only way to get past the pain. It's the only way to bring things into a rectified state in the power of Christ and His Spirit. I don't think it's a stretch to say that many of us here are still carrying unfinished business with our parents. And just the thought of it actually can bring you to tears, can cause emotions to well up and bring pain into your heart. And you're wondering, how could it be? How is it possible that I could deal with this before God? But understand this, what that means is you're still reacting to it. You're still affected by it. It's still having its harmful effect in your life. Chances are you're venting your anger on your husband or your wife or your kids or your friends because you've never really resolved it. You've never really dealt with it. You've never seen this command as the path to life for you. If you're still angry with a parent years later, you're still letting them in to control your life. It takes a courageous decision to make peace with your parents and to release the anger, to walk in forgiveness. It's a courageous decision, really is, to stop blaming and to start being, start living a life full of honor, where we honor what God has called us to honor. Admit it, don't hide it. These kinds of things in a relationship must be discussed. What some of you need, even right now, is to prayerfully have a conference with your parents. Sit down with them and say, Mom or Dad, or maybe it's both, I want to be free to honor you the way God has called me to honor you. I want to honor the good that's in your life. But I can't until we talk about the pain that I also feel, the pain that I struggle with, and come to some kind of resolution about that. I want to get it behind us. I want in this way to honor you the way God wants me to honor you. And I want to forge a new relationship. I want to see this come to a place of reconciliation. So you face the issue. I can't tell you what a blessing it is for me as a pastor. I talk with many of you, and I've heard stories about just this kind of thing happening, where in adult years you've had to go to your parents and deal with them to begin to unearth and set aside these pains of the past. Some are still struggling with it. It's remarkable how many of us are dealing with these kinds of things. God calls us to honor our father and mother. It's a path to healing. Do we believe him? We need to face the issue. It's scary, but you really cannot get on with your life. You cannot get on with the fullness of love for your own family apart from this. If there are wrongs, they need to be made right, so much as it depends upon us, while there's time. So we're to honor our parents. And then we note this, why our father and our mother? Because that is the primary relationship, the formative relationship as we're growing up, and it has its implications in all of the relationships throughout our lives. But then note this, that there's a promise that comes with this command. This is wonderful. There's a promise that you may live long in the land. God's promise to Israel, but in Christ it comes to us. What is this promise? Actually, Paul in Ephesians 6 and verse 2 says this is the first commandment with promise. He notes that for those that he's writing to and shepherding. And he says, in other words, prosperity and blessedness follow from giving honor where honor is due. There's a promise for us. Treat honorable people, treat honorable things with reverence, and you will be rewarded with the honorable things of life. Blessing flows. I think in our culture, in the world we live in today, honor is in short supply. Seems to be the first thing that we attack. If we can't quite reason on the issues, we attack the person. We try to bring dishonor. I wonder what a society of honor would look like a society where honor is upheld. I wonder what a church, as the light of Jesus Christ in the world, a church that is so given toward honor would look like. It means that everyone would treat others with goodness and kindness and love. You would not have to fear, because you would be treated well, and you would treat others well. A community of honor. It upholds what is honorable. And because of that, there's just good order. There's happiness. There's blessedness. There's thanksgiving in the deepest way. Well, I acknowledge that this has been a painful message for many. I do want to affirm, just in the clearest terms, God understands. God knows the pain that you feel. And I want to invite you this morning to seek God, to seek him for his help. want to encourage you to say in your heart, God, help me to let go of this hurt and this bitterness. Help me to forgive. Help me to begin to accept and appreciate and affirm the good things that you've brought to me through my parents and the good that there is in them. Help me to forge a positive relationship where it's possible. I want to live representing Christ as a part of your family. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you loved me unconditionally and that you've made me for a purpose, and that you never reject me. Thank you that you've accepted me. And for some, this prayer includes, I accept you. I receive you. This is the day I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, into my life. I want to be a part of your family, your eternal family, Heavenly Father. Well, may God bless his word to our hearts as we think about what it is to honor fathers and mothers as God has given them to us. I want us to take a moment to pray together, and we're going to transition into our communion time together here this morning, and then take time for prayer together as well. Let's just bow before God and ask for his blessing. Father, thank you. Thank you for all that we have to give thanks for today, and we do thank you for the families that you've given, for our fathers and our mothers, and Lord, for every relationship. We recognize you as the God of love who wants to see love in every part of our lives. Help us, Lord, with great courage to be able to respond to your call in our lives, to live as witnesses to your redeeming, reconciling grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.